A virus no wider than a dust mote rewrote human civilization in weeks. By early 2020, a pathogen that had been silently evolving in bat colonies made a fateful leap into human hosts at a crowded Wuhan market, and the world would never be the same. This wasn't humanity's first encounter with catastrophic disease, yet it caught us unprepared, revealing how quickly our interconnected world could unravel. The ancient Greeks understood something we'd forgotten. Apollo, god of healing, also wielded arrows of plague. Disease has always been our companion, yet each generation seems to rediscover this truth with fresh shock. What makes a pandemic not just a biological event, but a civilizational rupture? The answer lies not only in viral genetics, but in how societies respond when invisible threats expose every fault line we've tried to ignore. Late 2019 brought whispers of unusual pneumonia cases clustering around a seafood market in central China. Dr. Jixian Zhang noticed something wrong: 7 patients with identical symptoms, all linked to the same location. Meanwhile, ophthalmologist Dr. Li Wenliang tried warning colleagues about SARS-like cases, only to be silenced by authorities and forced to retract his statements. He would later die from the very disease he'd tried to expose, becoming a symbol of both the virus's danger and the cost of suppressing truth. By January 2020, the virus showed confirmed person-to-person transmission, with 15% of early patients dying. The Lunar New Year triggered nearly 12 million trips through Wuhan, spreading the pathogen globally. China's response was unprecedented. On January 23rd, authorities locked down Wuhan, eventually restricting 934 million people, an entire nation larger than Europe and North America combined. By late March, mandatory masks, temperature checks, and constant disinfection drove new daily cases from thousands to fewer than 50. America remained dangerously oblivious. The first U.S. case appeared January 21, but another strain arrived mid-February, devastating Kirkland's Life Care Center, where 167 cases emerged and at least 35 died. Evidence later revealed Patricia Dowd died February 8th in Santa Clara, likely infected mid-January. Yet catastrophic testing shortages meant only 59 cases were detected nationwide in 6 crucial weeks, effectively blinding the country to spreading contagion. The quarantined Diamond Princess cruise ship became an unintended laboratory. Among 3,711 trapped passengers, 712 contracted the virus and 12 died. Chinese scientists decoded the virus's 29,903-letter genome by January 11, revealing it was 96.2% identical to a bat coronavirus. COVID-19's deceptive nature made it uniquely dangerous. Mild cases mimicked common colds, while others experienced only loss of taste and smell. Many described profound exhaustion, corona fog, making simple tasks impossible. Severe cases progressed with terrifying speed, breathing feeling like being stabbed in the chest with an ice pick. The virus kills lung cells, causing fluid leakage that drowns victims. The immune system sometimes overreacts with a cytokine storm, widespread inflammation damaging multiple organs simultaneously, explaining why some young, healthy people died while elderly patients survived. Recovery typically took 2 to 6 weeks, but many became long haulers with persistent symptoms lasting months. This microscopic entity, roughly 100 nanometers in diameter, upended the world. Unlike seasonal flu encountering partially immune populations, COVID-19 exploited humanity's complete immunological naivete in this virgin soil epidemic. Marley Shapiro Asher survived both the 1918 Spanish flu at age 6 and COVID-19 at age 107. We'd encountered coronaviruses before, including the deadlier 2003 SARS-1 outbreak, but crucial differences prevented that catastrophe. SARS-1 infected only 8,422 people worldwide before containment within 8 months. It wasn't transmissible before symptoms appeared, with most infections occurring in healthcare settings. SARS-2 spreads before symptoms develop, with studies showing 12 to 73% of transmissions occur during this pre-symptomatic period. This stems from SARS-2's ability to bind cells in both upper airways and lungs, giving it a common cold's transmissibility with potential lethality approaching SARS-1. The effective reproduction number, RE, measures how many new cases each infected person generates. When RE exceeds 1, cases grow exponentially. Below 1, epidemics decline. But variation matters. Some infected people spread to no one, while super spreaders infect dozens. A Washington choir practice infected 52 of 61 participants, and a Chinese study found all but one of 318 outbreaks occurred indoors. Despite modern scientific capabilities, genome sequencing, genetic tests, mobile tracking, our primary defenses resembled primitive epidemiological tools, gathering bands and face masks. Flattening the curve bought crucial time, ensuring ventilators remained available and allowing public health systems to develop testing and contact tracing. The shutdown likely prevented 60 million cases and over 300,000 deaths during the first wave, though at staggering cost. By May 2020, 33 million Americans had lost jobs, erasing a decade of employment gains, with 43% reporting job loss or pay cuts, disproportionately affecting lower-income and minority communities. A fundamental challenge in epidemic response is explaining exponential growth. For a long time, nothing seems to be happening. Then suddenly, everything happens at once, making early action critical despite appearing unnecessary. The pandemic's devastating impact extended beyond physical health, profoundly disrupting human connection during life's most sacred moments. In ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities, rabbis created hotlines to play ancient prayers for dying patients over speakerphones placed beside isolated ICU beds. Studies show 81% of patients and 95% of families believe presence at death is vital, yet COVID-19 forced countless people to die alone. By April 2020, enjoyment dropped from 83% to 64%, while worry rose from 35% to 52%. Severe psychological distress increased from 3.9% in 2018 to 13.6%. Fear itself becomes contagious during epidemics, spreading more efficiently than pathogens. People contract diseases only through infected individuals, but fear spreads through contact with either infected or merely fearful people. Misinformation flourished during COVID-19, with Twitter analysis revealing misinformation sharing nearly matched credible sources like the CDC. Throughout history, plagues trigger the impulse to blame outsiders and minorities. During COVID-19, anti-Asian discrimination flourished, with some framing the virus as an attack worse than Pearl Harbor, fundamentally misplacing blame on humans rather than the pathogen itself. While some hoped pandemics might decrease divisions by highlighting shared vulnerability, epidemics typically heighten inequality. SARS-2 displays an unusual mortality pattern, with dramatically higher risk for older people but relatively low risk for the young. Men consistently showed higher infection rates, symptom severity, and mortality, suffering approximately 50% more deaths overall. The pandemic starkly revealed existing structural inequalities. Wealthier individuals worked remotely from safer locations, while low-income essential workers faced higher exposure risks, often lacking adequate health insurance or sick leave. CDC data through May 2020 showed Hispanics and African Americans were roughly 3 times more likely to become infected and twice as likely to die compared to whites. After age adjustment, Blacks had 3.8 times higher death risk nationally. These weren't new inequalities. The pandemic simply made visible what had always existed. As lockdowns took effect in March 2020, seismologist Thomas Lecoq noticed extraordinary stillness. The anthropogenic vibrations rattling our planet had ceased. Wildlife ventured into empty cities, pollution disappeared, and in India, Himalayan peaks became visible from over 120 miles away for the first time in generations. The pandemic unfolded across three periods: the immediate phase through 2022 with masks and social distancing, the intermediate period through 2024 recovering from shock, and the post-pandemic period beginning around 2024 when normal life resumed with persistent changes. The pandemic fostered greater self-reliance and accelerated healthcare changes that might otherwise have taken years. Remote work became normalized, urban dwellers sought housing in less dense areas, and the ancient custom of handshaking disappeared overnight. Mid-20th century optimism about disease eradication proved misguided. Microbes have evolutionary advantages. They're numerous, reproduce rapidly, and mutate easily. For SARS-2, herd immunity required 40 to 67% population immunity, achievable by around 2022. After a century among humans, older coronaviruses evolved into mild pathogens causing common colds, suggesting SARS-2 might follow the same path. Life returned to normal. Plagues always end. Yet what we carry forward matters most. Healthcare workers risked their lives daily. Neighbors delivered groceries to the housebound. Orchestra musicians isolated in their homes recorded individual performances edited into moving symphonies. We stayed home, not primarily to protect ourselves, but to protect others. This is the lesson worth remembering. In our most vulnerable moments, we discovered our fundamental interconnection. The virus taught us we cannot wall ourselves off from one another's fates. Our breath mingles in shared air. Our choices ripple through invisible networks. Another pandemic will come. Will we choose solidarity over isolation, truth over denial, collective care over individual hoarding? The arrows will fly again, but we decide whether they find us cowering alone or standing together, ready to catch those who fall.